Hey everybody, and welcome to The Void, a show dedicated to filling the void between being an employee and becoming self-employed. Most people refer to starting their own company as taking the leap, as if they're blindly jumping off a cliff and into the unknown. This show is here to help you understand that it doesn't have to be that way. As always, if you like what you're hearing on the show, please do us a favor and help share The Void with somebody else who might be wanting to start their own company. We saw an opportunity to help others understand that self-employment is well within your reach, and just as our businesses have grown organically and by word of mouth, we want this show to grow the same way. So if you see somebody asking questions about starting their own service-based business, please do us a favor and send them a link to the show. I'm your host, Mitch Smedley, and with me as always is David Hilton.
Mitch.
David.
I'm mad at you and happy with you all at the same time.
This is nothing new.
No. You have maybe given me the greatest treat I've had in a long time. I just ate a Star Crunch.
Oh, Star Crunch.
From Little Debbie.
Yeah.
It was fantastic. I bet I haven't had one of those in 25 years.
I can't have that right now. Tried eating. I had the same craving.
Because you got braces.
Yeah.
I didn't have a craving. I haven't eaten today. That's where I was going with this. The bad part is you fucked up like 2 hours of my day this morning.
Well, you're welcome.
So I haven't eaten. I mean, yes. I'm not mad about what we talked about. I'm just saying, like, I've lost 2 hours of my life, and I was fucking starving.
Yeah.
So I ate a Star Crunch and a Reese's peanut butter treat. That's all I've had today. It's noon.
I was going for like a bedtime snack, feeling a little peckish, you know, and after a gummy, you never know.
Dude, but, you got to stop taking those gummies.
I desired a Star Crunch, and so I unwrap one, and I go take one bite out of it, and my teeth are like, they got a real heavy wire on the braces right now.
Dude,
and
I'm
like,
imagine?
Ow! I just handed it to Danielle. I'm like, do you want this? Because I can't eat it.
How long did you have to brush your teeth after you?
I didn't even get one bite out of it. I couldn't bite it off.
You couldn't even bite it.
Yeah, the fronts are very tender right now. So... yeah.
Grown ass 44-year-old man with fucking braces.
I know.
I'm not, like, I see a lot of older people that have them, and I'm not saying it's bad by any means. If you're going to, you know.
It seems juvenile.
If you're going to, yeah, but if you're trying to improve yourself, no judgment at all. I don't care. But it's like, dude, you've literally been in the habit of doing these things for 44 years, and now all of a sudden it's like, whoop,
yep.
Nope, no more.
Yeah, no corn on the cob.
Oh,
no,
dude.
I know. There's a lot of things where it's like, and of course they'll tell you, like, watch out for all this stuff because you might break a bracket. I'm not worried about breaking a bracket. It fucking hurts.
Yeah.
The braces don't hurt just sitting there, but whenever you go put pressure on your teeth,
dude,
it kind of hurts.
I had never thought about that. So last year in my garden, I grew sweet corn.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, fresh sweet corn.
Yep.
I'm going to sound like a redneck here. And a steak. Mm-hmm. Like, if I tried to eat that with braces, I'd be picking that shit out of my braces forever.
Oh, yeah.
Even if you could eat it.
Yeah.
I'd hate my life.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a thing. My
man,
chicken.
I went from mad at you to pity, in 30 seconds.
My chicken and rice, you know, I got to cut it up in smaller bites because, I mean, the chicken's tender because I cook it sous vide style, but.
How long do you have to wear these fucking things?
Mine are going to be a while. I hate to say it. Mine are probably going to be like 2.5 or 3 years.
Good God.
Yeah. I mean, my teeth were really fucking crooked.
I don't know if I've said this on the show or not. You haven't made me, but your situation has made me mad in a way that I never thought would make me mad. I had a person tell me this. I think I've told you this. They're like, Mitch's eyebrows look like they're women's eyebrows. I've never paid attention to a man's eyebrows in my life. I don't care. And now I can't unsee it.
So
Your braces.
Yeah, I know.
I never knew or noticed. We've been friends for 31 years. I had never even noticed that your teeth were crooked.
Yep.
It's like my whole world has been fucking turned upside down.
And now I'm
looking at guys' eyebrows, not just yours.
Yep.
This isn't about you. This is about, like, every guy I see now, I'm like, oh, that guy has eyebrows like a woman. That guy's are flat and straight.
Yep.
That's this. I never had to use the bandwidth to even think about it. And now I'm thinking about all this new shit. Oh, I wonder if that guy's teeth are crooked. I wonder if that guy... I don't... Fuck you guys. Okay?
So for those that...
Fuck all of you.
For those that, like, are thinking, well, they can't be that bad. Like, I have a bottom tooth that rests outside one of my top teeth.
I had never, so, 31 like, years, I'd never fucking noticed.
Yeah, it's one hell of a crossbite. And then every time I go to the orthodontist, they always check your bite, and they're like, God damn, you have one crazy overbite. So, yeah,
I mean,
it's bad.
I know mine aren't perfect, but yeah. I don't care.
Yep.
It's just, I hate the fact that, and this is super petty, I know it, I hate the fact that at 44, my life just keeps getting, like, once you get that old, you're like, okay, everything's just going to be fine. Everything's going to be the same.
It's, yeah.
No, it's constantly changing every day, and I'm just turning into a crotchety fucking old man.
Real quick, I'm going to plug Field Pulse before we move on to respect in friendship. So,
Pulse. Field.
Field Pulse.
Field Pulse.
Field Pulse is the field service management software for field service pros like you. Whether you're a small business looking to grow or a larger company ready to scale, it's got everything you need all in one platform. It's got advanced features for your CRM, for estimates and invoices, for scheduling and dispatching, good, better, best proposals, maintenance plans, and it will even run the Tradewinds price book. Plus, Field Pulse integrates with software you're currently using, like QuickBooks Online and your desktop PC, so you can hit the ground running without changing everything about how you work. By simplifying your day-to-day operations, Field Pulse saves you time, keeps your team organized, gives you tools to increase productivity and profitability. And it's not just us saying this. Field Pulse has earned a 4.8 rating across over 600 Google reviews. To learn more, head over to fieldpulse.com. That's FIELDPULSE.com. One quick additional note about Field Pulse is they have some exclusive offers going on right now, to where you can get some bonus features if you sign up with them using the link in the description of the show. You can get some extra one-on-one help. You can get some upgraded features if you do that. So
yeah, they are running their special till the end of January. So there is a special link in our description for the January promo.
Yep.
And then, and I've been getting a lot of flack from this. We've actually had some comments from some listeners that didn't know, because Field Pulse, and I know I've said this on a few shows, but I think it's important. If you're a one-man show, it's hard to get signed up with a CRM unless you're house call. Field Pulse won't do it unless you use our void link. They'll still take you. You're grandfathered in. So again, if you normally listen to the show and you tried to go through Field Pulse and they told you no because you're a one-man show, if you use our specific link, they will take you as a one-man.
Yeah.
So,
and essentially, like, we'll explain why. An outsider randomly hitting up Field Pulse as a one-man show hasn't shown the level of commitment for Field Pulse to expect the juice to be worth the squeeze. But
which, in layman's terms, we don't make money off of you until month three. Like, let's be honest.
Field Pulse. Yes.
Not you and I. Field Pulse.
Yeah.
That's just a business being smart.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And so they safeguard their onboarding team by saying we're only going to onboard three-man shops or higher, right?
Yeah.
But anybody that has the discipline and dedication to listen to this show, they realize, okay, this is not your standard one-man operation. This guy's going to grow eventually. Here's
I don't want to be.
Here's the way this affects us all. When I got married, my wife used to go to bed, like, 8 just go to bed.
P.M., get up at 9 a.m.
She'd just go to bed. Maybe we're even wearing, like, a cute little nightie, right? Well, now it's like, okay, I got the face cream, the nose cream, the eye patches, the headband, the, you know, like it's a whole process of applications and hardware
to go to bed. So that she can get up the next day and look nice for other people when she goes out, not for you. That's what's hilarious to me.
Thankfully, she didn't go out much. So
Janine does the same thing. You know what I mean? Like at 8 o'clock or 7 o'clock, she's like, okay. And she takes everything off and does, you know, all this. And she's wearing like my clothes.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, this is just how it fucking goes.
Looky there.
Hey, we were just talking shit on you. I'm just kidding. We weren't. Oh shit. That's cool as fuck.
We don't have a smoke detector in here.
Is it an actual flamethrower or is it a fire starter? Okay. I thought it was. Oh shit.
Dude, that's hot.
It throws some fucking heat.
Dude, let me see that.
It's not a flamethrower. It's just a torch that looks like a flamethrower.
It's just for starting fires and stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Don't touch the end.
Dude, this is cool. What happens if you put map gas on it?
It won't fit. Different size.
Different threads?
Yeah.
I thought they were the same, propane and map gas.
Nope.
I think you're full of crap.
Pretty sure they're not. Well, you got to turn it on. And then the trigger is just to start. That's your throttle.
Oh, I see. It's reverse. Oh, yeah, that's cool.
Crank it up.
I'm afraid. Oh, once it's lit, you don't have to hold it.
Yeah, you don't have to hold it.
Well, they should make that a safety thing.
You go even more.
I don't want to.
We're putting some heat in the room right now.
Dude, it's hot as fuck.
Yeah.
Who got you that?
So this was a failed attempt at a Christmas gift. It was a buy two, get one free thing. And the two others looked a whole lot better than this. So we bought two. They sent us the free one. They never sent us the two that we paid for. So we disputed the charge and got everything back. And I'm just left with this free one.
Oh, my God.
So this was going to be your Christmas gift. But then we got screwed. And so I went a different route with it. But
this would be cool for deterring ICE protesters.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
What'd you do?
You think you're here to melt ice? Here you go. I'm going to melt you.
Oh, my God. This is dope as fuck.
Yeah. God, I love watching a big, fat, white liberal woman getting body checked by ICE.
Dude,
man, it's hilarious.
Did you see the old man that knocked out like four of them on his own?
Yeah.
Like he's there doing his deal and the guy's waving. Yep. Here, you can take
They're both trying to peacefully protest, but the...
Yeah, and the guy's yelling at it in it with the megaphone. That's hot. Don't burn a hole in your carpet.
I got to set it somewhere where it's not going
to... You know, and he's... Like, and finally he's had enough and the guy goes over and bends over and he reaches down and gives him a left, knocks him down, and then knocks out like three more dudes.
One of the dudes knocks out cold midair.
That's the guy that he punched first. That guy got back up and wanted more.
Oh, that's fun.
And he comes over there and he just hits him again and he goes stiff arm down and all the way on his ass.
Yep. They have a GoFundMe for him because obviously he's going to face some assault charges and stuff like that, but they got a GoFundMe for him to try to raise money for him. So,
well, first off, he may have an assault charge on the first guy he hit, but that could be either way. Both of those guys could catch one. The rest of the guys that came up to him, like that guy shouldn't be getting charged with that shit.
Right.
He is, I saw there was a, I don't know if it's a meme or a parody video or what you would call it, but it's, there's a little video inside of a video, right? And so they're showing it and it's a hilarious black guy. I wish I could remember his name. I've seen him before. He does these a lot. Mm-hmm. And he's like, "That's my Uncle Dan, my crazy Uncle Dan." And so he's narrating the whole thing. And he's like, "Oh, Dan just knocked that motherfucker out." Like, it's hilarious. It makes me laugh.
There's
so
a black
hard.
Guy that narrates
I should look him
funny
up, give him
pet behavior. Like you'll have pets that are acting funny. Dogs that are giving you funny looks.
Oh, and it's like a video in a video, and he's talking about it.
And he's narrating what the dog would be thinking. And this, if this guy's not a professional comedian, he should be, because it is hilarious. He is so good at it. Danielle and I share those videos. Like, every time we see a new one, we share it to each other, because it is just hilarious. And he'd be like, "That's my human. That's my human. Don't get near a human." Like when the mailman comes up, you know.
I
like,
fucking love it.
Oh, it's so funny.
I'll look it up and see if I can find it. It's like the Snoop Dogg ones are cool too.
Yeah.
They have Snoop Dogg narrating the Earth videos now.
Oh, yeah.
When all the snakes come out and he's like, "Hey, what the fuck's going on here?"
Yeah.
Or when
we're going to hizzle over here for a slizzle.
It's hilarious. And when he does when he was doing the Olympic Games last time and the equestrian horses, he's like, fucking crip walking.
Yeah.
Like, dude, it makes me laugh.
Yeah, Snoop Dogg
so
emceeing the Olympics was epic.
Snoop's hilarious, dude.
Yep.
He is hilarious.
Yep.
Oh, my God. And he just, it was so weird. Like, he vanished for a long time.
Yeah.
Because he just wasn't doing a lot of music
and
stuff.
He was kind of tied in with the Martha Stewart bad press, too.
Yeah.
So.
And now he's back.
Yep.
Fucking fantastic. I love Snoop Dogg. Dude.
Pretty cool.
I wish they do, and they do a little bit of new music here and there. How cool would it be if, like, Snoop, Dre, Eminem got together and did like a full 10-song album, and it was like 3 from one, 2 from another.
You'd have
3
to get,
from one, and then they kind of collabed on it.
You'd want 50 Cent in it, because you know they'd be knocking on P. Diddy.
Dude, have you seen those where 50 Cent's like saying things but not saying things about P. Diddy?
Well,
it's hilarious.
Have you seen the
oh my God.
Film, the documentary on Netflix about P. Diddy?
No, I haven't.
It's not on Netflix. It's I can't remember. It's on a network, and 50 Cent picked the network because it's the only network that is shown in the prison that P. Diddy's in.
Oh,
and,
shit.
And 50 Cent was like, "I want P. Diddy seeing this
in prison.
Get the
fuck out of here."
Yeah.
So it's on like some weird thing like USA or Paramount
Plus. Paramount or something. Like, it's the only network that streamed into the prison. And he did it on purpose just so P. Diddy would have to see it.
I'll look it up.
It's fucking great.
We got to start
doing epic level trolling.
Dude. I mean, the worst part is he's in jail. It's not like he can do anything.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right. So, have you seen all those memes where it's like, you know, AI created photos of like Maduro sitting next to P. Diddy in prison, and P. Diddy's
don't worry,
like,
baby, they took all my oil.
They took
too.
My oil too. Yeah. So funny. I love comedy being back. It's great.
I do too.
Yeah.
I do too. I got called out for using the word retard again the other day.
Yeah, that's all right.
I'm.
This show's not for everybody. Especially
retards.
Oh,
I wasn't even talking. I wasn't even talking about the ones on the show. Oh, I was talking about.
Oh, like in public? In a setting
or
something?
Well, I'm trying to be careful because it was at. Some people listen to our podcast that my daughter plays soccer with. And I may have been called out by one of them for saying retard.
Yeah.
And then looked said person in the face and said, I don't give a fuck. You're a retard. So I'm just, you know, I'm trying not to blow it all out of fucking proportion.
Let's get on with the show.
This fucking thing's off the rails already. This is all your fault.
I know.
From before.
I know. You're right. I came today with a business proposition before the show. Should have waited till after.
It was. I will say this. We're not going to talk about it, but it is a fantastic idea, and I'm super excited about it.
Yeah.
But it got my brain completely off task of what we were supposed to be doing.
Yeah. So today's show is about respect. And
R-E-S-P-E-C-T.
Yeah. Oh, exactly. Yeah. Aretha Franklin style.
What's the Reverend guy say? R-E-S-P-I-C-T. No?
P-I-C-T?
Yeah, he misspells it.
Oh, I don't know.
Okay.
I mean, I've had a hilarious public misspelling in my past, so I don't.
Short, usually we'll post shorts, and they'll kind of fade off. That one still gets a couple watches every now and then.
Yeah, yeah. Well. That's
if you don't know what we're talking about, go to our
shorts.
Go to our YouTube shorts and look up the FOCK short.
Oh, no, that I'm not talking about that.
Oh, what are you talking about?
When the Eagles were at the Chiefs?
That's it.
Okay.
That's it.
Yeah.
Because on the show you were mad and then tried to spell fuck and misspelled it FOCK after misspelling the Chiefs name too.
There we go. Okay, yeah.
Those aren't even.
Yeah, I know.
Dude, you're talking about a six-letter word and a
four-letter
word.
The dyslexia is coming on strong. It's so funny. I'll make a social media post, and I'll proofread the shit out of it, and it's perfect. And then I post it, and I'll look at it 10 or 15 minutes later, and I'm like, that word's not even supposed to be there. That word's a different word than what it should be. These letters are backwards. It's like,
dude,
golly.
You're not the only one. There is a lot of bad grammar on social media.
No, this isn't grammar. This is like...
Well, I mean missing words, misspelled words.
Yeah.
Like, it's bad.
Yeah, this is just my brain lying to me on what it looks like versus what I'm actually typing. So...
I think we should maybe get into that a little bit. Because I think what it is you're trying to go so fast that you read through it and say, I read that, and you don't actually read it. Your brain is not actually lying to you.
No, because like there's...
You'll send me texts and I'm like, what the fuck does this even mean?
I'm writing that big story right now.
Yeah.
And I'll go back, like I'll write everything and then I'll go back and read it later. And that I'm not in a hurry to write that. I'm sitting on the couch watching football, writing the story, right?
You should send it to me and I'll help you fucking edit it.
Well, you'll get plenty of that. It's coming up.
You know what? Never mind. I don't need more shit on my plate right now. Never disregard my statement.
So, today's show, it's about respect. And respect is the foundation of any culture out there. Culture is what makes America go forward. Culture is what makes businesses go forward. Good culture, things go in a good direction. Bad culture, things go in a bad direction. It's just that simple, right? You could be a high-performing sales organization, but if your culture is shit, your sales are shit. So getting a good culture and getting everybody on the same team when it comes to culture is imperative. So one of the foundational things for culture to even happen is a level of respect. And so today's show is about respect in all areas of your life. We're going to talk about respecting yourself. We're going to talk about respecting your spouse. We're going to talk about respecting your friends, your employees, your employers, all kinds of different levels of respect. So, Dave, or listeners as well.
What?
Think about a time that you truly felt respected, right? And I'm not telling you to say it. I'm just
think
back to a time where you were like kind of blown away at somebody's level of respect to you, right? And
okay, is it bad that I'm having a difficult time finding one? That's probably me. That's probably me remembering.
Well, like we go note, like if you hold your friends in high regard and have a level of discipline for who you hang out with, respect becomes
normal.
So normal that it's kind of hard to point it out.
Yeah.
Right.
That may be a good thing to think about as far as if you feel disrespected all the time.
Right.
You know what I mean? And so when you do have a time that's like, oh man, it really gave me my props there.
Yeah.
Like if that's the only time, like those people you're hanging out with,
Right.
Maybe that's a detriment to, you know, your mental stability or
right.
or their character.
Right. Well, and it's always easier to find times that you've been disrespected, right? No different than it's always easier to find times you were unhappy than when you were happy.
Yeah.
It's because you take happiness for granted a lot of times. So
yeah, you just remember the negativity more.
Right. So as you're thinking about that time, like you should be able to, like if it's that recognizable to you, you should be able to recognize things that person did intentionally to respect you, right?
Yeah.
Maybe they were mad, but they were able to calmly sit down and discuss it and set their anger aside. Maybe somebody went out of their way to do something for you. I saw a video. This is one of those bait videos. I saw a video yesterday.
God, they're everywhere.
This guy stands in the middle of a crowded shopping mall. He's got a wrist cast on his hand, and he's standing there. He's got a shoe up in the air, and he's trying to tie a shoe with one hand,
and his
other hand doesn't work very well. And the whole purpose of it, like you, I mean, it's a
staged video.
It's a staged video, but they're trying to show you like how many people just walk by with and just watch him trying to tie a shoe and don't do anything. And then the one person recognizes and helps him tie a shoe.
That he
right.
knows that came from the side.
Right. she's leaving.
No, I know.
Waving bye.
Relax. I was just looking.
and so like obviously that person had an elevated level of respect for that dude. Everyone else is like, this dude standing in the middle of the walkway.
Yeah.
Like he should move. And this lady was like, well, he'll move if I help him tie his shoe. And so she, you know, tells him to put his foot on the ground and ties his shoe, right? So respect is literally it's two things. Like there's a recipe for respect. And it's literally recognizing value and then responding appropriately to the value you've recognized, right? And so it's not an agreement or a weakness or silence, although sometimes that is what it is, right?
Yeah.
In other words, like I respect you, you respect me. We have agreements in place for some things, business things and other stuff,
you know,
like that.
Especially in business too, I think the silence aspect probably is underrated. Like I think of us and the guys in our group that are partners.
Right.
If Mitch sends me an idea and I don't like it and I don't respond, it's because I'm thinking about it.
Right.
And he knows that. So he doesn't hound me. If there's a disagreement in business between two partners and neither one of them is going to budge from their stance,
mm-hmm.
but there's silence and both guys let that go because they know that it doesn't push the business forward, that's a sign of mutual respect.
Right.
Lots of people want to take that and say, oh, well, you just didn't say anything and this and that and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, no, we're agreeing to move on from this.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that doesn't just show respect for the person you work with or are partners with, but it shows respect towards the business.
Yeah.
Towards their friendship, towards everything. Nothing is more important than any of those things I just listed.
Yep.
So we're both just going to let that shit go.
Right.
Like that just happens.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of the issues that arise, especially ones that we see, are when guys do disagree and then neither one of them or only one of them will let that go.
Right.
Or not let that go.
Or hang on to something for way too long.
Yeah, and right. just let it fester and yep. let it create animosity and build up and build up and build up. And then it ends up something so stupid that didn't even matter
yep.
burns a business to the fucking ground.
Yeah. Have you ever seen the exercise where you hold a pitcher of water? So
where you hold them out like this?
Yeah.
It's usually beers, but yeah.
Yeah, it's so you take a pitcher of water, a small pitcher of water, and you pick it up and you're like, well, it's not that heavy. But then you hold it straight out from you.
Yeah, it's straight
and
out.
And the longer you're carrying that weight, the heavier it gets.
Yeah. the more it weighs on you.
Right. And the idea is like, let it go.
Yeah.
Like, if it's going to make a mess,
yeah,
big deal. Let it go.
Yeah.
You'd rather make the mess now and not carry the weight for any longer than you have to, right?
Or do you want to suffer for 4 months and then end up dropping it anyway?
And then end up dropping it anyway.
Because you can't carry it anymore.
Right. And now you got rotator cuff surgery and everything else because you carried
God,
it, right?
Dude.
But
shit.
Respect is always shown, and it's always most clear when it's inconvenient, right? And so what I mean by that is, like, if tensions are high, that is where respect will show up or not, right? When everybody's happy and everybody is in a good mood, it's super easy to respect people. But when tensions are high or there's friction or there's disagreement, that's where respect becomes most clear. Right.
Yeah, it's forced to the surface.
Yeah,
you're forced to deal with it.
And so, first thing we're going to talk about is like respect of yourself. You can't consistently show respect to others unless you can practice it within yourself. And some of this is like negative self-talk and stuff like that, right? If you talk about yourself negatively, you're going to talk about others negatively. If you disrespect yourself, you're going to disrespect others. And so, key behaviors for respecting yourself would be keeping commitments to yourself. We've talked about that a lot on the show, that's where your self-confidence comes from, is making small promises to yourself and then keeping those promises. And then if you falter on a promise, don't beat yourself up for it. Don't hold that pitcher for any longer than you have to, right?
Yeah.
Let it go. Water on the bridge, under the bridge. Do better next time.
Yeah. Self-esteem killer.
Yeah. Setting boundaries for yourself without apology, right? So let's just say that you're trying to lose weight. So you set a boundary for yourself that I will not overeat. And now you go out to a dinner party with friends and everyone else is eating. You've set that boundary. Maintain it. Hold it. Don't apologize about it either. It's a boundary you've set for yourself. It is what it is. And if your friend's like, oh, try these cookies. I'm sorry. I'm cutting back on my calorie intake.
Yeah.
You know? And like, you're saying it politely, but you're also holding your boundary without apology to yourself. Right?
Yeah.
And then this is the most important, is speak to yourself in a way that you would, in a way that somebody else would speak to you that cares about you. A lot of times we get too hard on ourselves.
That's difficult for a lot of people to do.
Very difficult.
That's
right?
One of the things we deal with in TradeWinds a lot. People don't understand the damage they do to themselves when they're like, well, I can't do that.
Yeah.
Or my idea isn't going to work, and they don't even bring it up.
Right.
Or they don't attempt to activate a change in some area of their business. It literally does a lot of things. It isn't just a detriment to your business, but it is a detriment to your psyche, your self-esteem, and your ability to implement ideas later.
Right.
Because the more those things compound on top of each other, the worse you are on yourself.
Yep.
Because you don't see those ideas that you came up with implemented and be successful. You know what I mean? It's like a roller coaster ride.
Yep.
Once you're started over the top of that hill, it just keeps rolling. And then it's harder to get up the next one.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Yep. And so, like, one of the fastest ways to disrespect yourself is overworking to please others, knowing that you're going to resent them later. And I have a saying that I say all the time in our household and in our relationships, and that is uncommunicated expectations are planned resentments in the future. So how this manifests is, and this is going to get into your marriage and partner stuff here pretty soon, but like, let's say you're married and you really want your spouse to do this thing. Whether it's a chore around the house, whether it's behave in a certain way or something like that. Maybe you want your spouse to stop drinking. Maybe you want your spouse to stop cussing. Maybe you want your spouse to start chipping in with chores around the house or whatever. If you don't communicate it, then you can't resent them later for not doing something that you never communicated to them, right?
Yeah, it's the carrying the pitcher analogy again.
Yeah. Exactly.
You filled the pitcher on your own this time, though.
Yeah.
Someone else didn't fill it for you.
Yeah. You filled a pitcher on your own. You handed it out for somebody else to carry,
they
and you never told them to take it.
Yeah.
And now you're mad at them for not taking it.
Yeah.
Right? So where do you see people most often sacrificing self-respect without even realizing it?
Ooh, are you asking me for a legitimate example in business or in life?
In life.
Read me the question again.
Where do you see people most often sacrifice self-respect without even realizing it? I have a couple.
To your analogy earlier about eating, going out drinking with your buddies.
Yep.
A lot of that, especially the holiday season. That's why it's fresh in my brain.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm going to quit drinking in dry January. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. You go out with your buddies. They fail every time. Like, it's just a massive failure rate.
Yeah. Yeah. That's exactly what I was going to say. Is like, let's say you have a commitment to eat less and lose weight, but then you never tell anybody no, including yourself, whenever, like, food addiction is probably the hardest addiction to overcome.
Sugar is the number one substance abuse in the country.
Well,
sugar.
It's not like heroin addiction. You don't need heroin to survive.
No, but it'll make you sick if you don't have it.
Right.
Changes your body chemistry. But sugar, yes.
Yeah. That's why food addiction is so hard, is because it's not like smoking cigarettes. Smoking cigarettes, you could cut out forever and be healthier because of it. You can't just cut out food. You can't quit food cold turkey.
No, you still
So that's like
eat.
Saying, do your blow, do your heroin, but just do it a little less.
Yeah.
That's essentially what food addiction is, right? But if you've made that commitment to yourself, and then you find yourself faltering on it, and then you beat yourself up for it, that's where you're killing your own self-respect.
Yeah. I think another great example is when it comes to people's finances, as far as this year, I am going to save money. I am not going to blow money. And then that friend trip comes up.
Yep.
You know what I mean? And they're like, hey, we're doing this deal. We're doing it. It's only going to be $2,500. You've literally made a huge commitment to yourself that you're going to save money.
Yep.
And the peer pressure just it makes you fold.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Or I'm going to spend less on whatever. And your buddy calls you and he says, hey, I'm going to this gun show. And you go to this gun show, you're not even thinking that you're going to fail. You see a great deal, and then you fail.
Yep.
You know what I mean? You shouldn't even gone to the fucking gun show.
It's like you're speaking out of experience.
I haven't been to any this year, so I'm...
Well, it's only the 14th day of the year.
Hey, don't discredit my fucking growth over the first 15 days of 2026. You know what I mean? But that peer pressure of, hey, we're going to go out to a fancy dinner, per se.
Right.
You know what I mean? If I told Mitch, hey, I'm going to... save money. I'm not spending any money going out to eat. And then Mitch calls me. He's like, hey,
yep,
they got a deal at Marina 27, half off bottles of wine. We're going to go. You guys should go with us.
Right.
Guys fail there all the time.
Yeah.
Oh man, that's a great opportunity to be with my friends. And people like to mask it as enjoy my life.
Right.
It's still the same thing.
YOLO. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like those are.
So like, you know, I'm trying
good
to
good examples that come to my brain first, I guess.
Yeah. I'm trying to cut down the alcohol consumption, right?
Yeah.
And I didn't quit.
I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Sorry,
I didn't.
My bad.
I didn't quit 1,000%, right? Like, I still have a glass of wine on date night and stuff like that. But the rules that I set for myself is no more than 4 drinks a week and no more than 2 drinks a night. Okay.
Okay.
So that means if I haven't hit my 4 drink limit yet, then I can go have 2 drinks tonight at date night if I want.
Is this a Sunday to Saturday thing?
Yeah.
I'm just curious.
Right. And so that way, I still get to enjoy it, but I don't, it's impossible to consume to excess if you do it that way.
Yeah.
Right. And so we went out on Saturday night. Some friends said, hey, impromptu thing, you want to meet us at Station 7? I had already hit my limit for the week, right? So I didn't want to tell him no. So we went out, and yeah. I got unsweet tea.
First off, I love tea.
I
love sweet tea.
I love sweet tea, but
you're on the sugar thing too.
Well, and something about unsweet tea, I found it is an amazing replacement for alcohol
because it's a little bitter.
It's a little bitter.
Yeah,
it's something that you can sip on and constantly get a taste and a flavor.
It's full flavored.
Yeah,
very full flavored.
And so we went out. We were out for 2 hours. I had one really big unsweet tea for the whole time. And then we were done and we were home and I looked at Danielle and I'm like, man, I wish every outing with friends could be like that. We texted them afterwards. That was fucking awesome.
Why, I don't understand. Why is that like, why is it that?
It wasn't like an all-nighter. It wasn't like, oh, we're gonna go binge and bar hop. And
I see it. I see what you're saying.
Like, we still got to go out and have fun, but it started. We had fun. It ended. We were done.
Well, it's because this is a maturity thing.
Yeah,
I think, you know, like when you're younger, you just assume that when we go out, we're going out till, mm-hmm, you know, 10, 11, 12, 1, 2, whatever, you know.
Right.
But as you get older, it's like, you know what? I can just go out and eat dinner and then just go home.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, totally.
The real problem is, whole look into my life, I don't have friends that I can do that with.
Yeah.
Because we talk about it on the podcast.
Your circle gets smaller.
All the time. Yeah. Your circle just gets smaller.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And some of it's not even intentional. Like, you know, we have really, really good friends that we could do that with, but their kids are grown and gone.
Yeah.
Our daughter's still at home.
Yep.
I don't leave her at home.
Like, yeah.
I'm paranoid as a motherfucker, so I don't.
Like, well, it's different when you only have one, too.
Yeah. I'll leave, like, for an hour.
Yep.
You know, I'm okay with that. But I won't leave and go out for 3 hours or 4 hours.
Right.
You know, so that inherently shrinks your circle.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But look, Mitch, if you want to just go out and have dinner for 2 hours, you know, you can always just call me.
Oh, yeah. Owe me a dinner.
I know. And actually, full transparency, I've been holding out on purpose, and I told you why.
Yeah.
Because I had something I've been working on.
Yeah.
I am this fucking close.
Get it.
So, I'm trying. Yep. I know you're rooting for me.
Yeah.
I'm so close.
Yep. So, let's evolve this into marriage and partnerships, right? So, why this matters so much in marriage, and this is where you get blindsided in marriage. Familiarity erodes respect faster than a conflict with a stranger. You get comfortable.
You know that I can usually follow you completely. Like, it's just a skill I have. I'm going to need something here.
So,
I'm going to need, give me something.
So imagine you're out at a club with your girl.
Okay.
And it's obvious that you're with your girl, right?
Okay.
You're next to her.
Okay, go ahead.
Hand at the small of her back. Like, it's obvious she's your girl.
Yeah.
Some dude comes up and makes a move on your girl. That is disrespect from a stranger.
Man. Oh.
Right?
Yeah.
So that's conflict with a stranger.
That's easy to spot. You're saying that's easy to spot and easy to deal with.
It's easy to spot and easy to deal with.
I'm talking
familiarity.
Yeah.
People that you hang out with all the time, that familiarity lowers your guard. And you will start to disrespect those people if you're not careful. Okay? And especially your spouse.
Example.
I'm
putting you on the spot.
Yeah.
On purpose.
So like, a lot of women, their love language is acts of service. A lot of men, their love language is physical touch. Before you get married, you have no problems being your girl's knight in shining armor. You have no problems going out of the way to do services for her, right?
Okay.
Setting up rose petals, setting up fancy dates, doing all of these things.
Trying to get laid, got it.
Trying to get laid,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's the truth.
Yeah,
right.
It's the truth.
And your girl has no problems honoring your love language of physical touch. She's going to put her hand on your leg. She's going to scratch the back of your neck. You know, all of those things. But it's kind of
my love language, but I understand what you're saying. Yes.
I'm using those two because those are the most common love languages for men and women.
Follow you 100%.
And so, so with that, like everyone always says, like whenever she says I do, she don't do that no more, right? And that is due to familiarity.
She'd be alone real quick. I'm just saying.
It's on Wednesdays, Saturdays, birthdays, and Christmas, babe.
No, I don't think so, dog.
But
conversation took a weird turn, but yeah.
But that familiarity, now all of a sudden, it's the wife asks you to wipe down the counters and you don't do it. Or the wife asks you to vacuum the carpet before the people come over, and you're outside cleaning gutters.
Do you see that
right?
One that's the guy that cleaning out the shed?
Yeah.
We haven't had people over in 6 months, so I asked him to help me clean the house, and he's out there cleaning the shed that no one's been in 3 years.
Yeah, exactly. He's power washing the driveway.
Yeah.
Like, you know, shit like that.
Yeah.
And something about that's how guys are wired. That just is what it is. But, you know, that familiarity allows you to deviate from what worked for so long, right? That what worked that got you married. And it goes both ways. You know, maybe I'm just going to call it out for what it is. Maybe you're having sex two or three times a week before you get married. And then after you get married, it's like once a month. And it's like she's letting her guard down too. And that familiarity is like, well, we don't have to now. I got him. Right?
Yeah.
And so that's where that she'd be like, homeless. This is
Didn't
the
I
sneaky.
Say this? Yeah.
This is the sneaky one. So here are some things that you can do to be intentional about showing respect with your spouse. And guys, we have a majority, like as more guys listen to this show than girls.
I am very interested to see where this conversation's going.
Listen without preparing a rebuttal. How many times are you, your wife is venting to you and you're like wanting to solve her problem, right? Men are problem solvers by nature. And your wife's bitching about how somebody disrespected her, how a friend treated her, or how this thing worked.
Always.
And all of that. Listening without preparing a rebuttal. Listen to just listen. Sometimes these ladies, they don't want you to fix it. They just want a sounding board. Sometimes, I swear, the way I rationalize it is sometimes these ladies can't even think about what they're mad at until they speak it out loud.
Yeah,
and they just need somebody to speak it out loud too, and then shut the fuck up and just let them process it.
We've talked about this a few different times, and I actually went back and read some things, and that's basically what it was, is until they have a sounding board to get it all out, it's hard for them to sometimes, and I don't mean they're stupid by any means, but it's hard for them to organize their thoughts on it until it's out, and then they can think about it differently because those words were said.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Now that I've said it out loud, it hits different.
Yeah.
Right?
And immediately, I'm this way too. Like, I don't do this with guys. I do this with girls, though. It's bad. Like, not even just my wife, but like anyone. They'll come to me and if it's not my wife, it's worse. Because, this can make me sound bad, I don't give a fuck. Because you're not my spouse.
Right.
You know what I mean? Well, we're having this problem with this. Or we're having this problem with this and this. And I'm just like very analytical. This is what you need to do.
Yep.
This is how it needs to be fucking done. And if you don't do it that way, I usually amplify it. Not on purpose. It's just my personality. It's going to get worse.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I'm not horrible at it with my wife, but I still do it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I try to do it. Oh, man. I'll call myself out here. Like when she will talk about issues like within her family.
Yeah.
You know, oh, they are doing this or they are doing that. And I'm like, no, this needs to be this and this and this and this. And then afterwards, I'm like, God damn it.
Yeah.
Like she was just trying to tell you what was going on.
And if you pounce, know what I mean? As a guy, if you pounce on that too fast and try to correct it, now your girl develops a sense to where she doesn't feel safe opening up and venting to you because you never allow her to breathe. You never allow her to vent.
Yeah.
You're always Mr. Fix-It.
Yeah.
And so you want your partner to be freely to talk about anything they want to talk about with you. And so you have to sometimes listen without responding,
and
just listening.
Like, you know, Janine fairly well.
Yeah.
She is not.
She's not your typical girl.
Well, she's not overly emotional.
Yeah.
But I know that when she does, and the emotion that comes out is usually like she'll defend them immediately.
Yep.
Then I know I was like, ah, shouldn't have said shit.
Yep.
And it's like, it's short. Like it's a very small window. Well, she this and that. And I'm like, fuck that one up.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
But like we talk about maturity and getting better all the time. Like it's one of those things that, like I recognize that now.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's been over 20 years.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, and then I will think about, well, when did I start doing that?
Yeah.
Was it a real issue for 10 years? That thought process will then make me more aware of it going forward.
Right.
I've said this maybe on a couple podcasts ago. I said, you know, I'll have conversations with people because I think that certain things are going to happen,
mm-hmm.
and it allows me to prepare that conversation and understand what, so it makes me more understandable. Makes me sound better. It makes me have a more thought out solution for them later.
Right.
And it makes me sound like a little bit of a crazy person, but it's extremely important when it comes to your communication skills, becoming a better man, becoming a better business partner, becoming a better business owner. Like all of that stuff ties together and it affects your business life and your personal life.
Yeah. Yeah. Listen to understand, not to respond, right? Some other things that you can do when you're having a discussion, like over some conflict that you're having. Criticize the behavior, not the character. Okay? So my youngest son, we're going through some like behavioral things with him, right? And I kind of had to jump on his ass a little bit the other day. And Danielle did an excellent job. So it made my son upset. And Danielle did an excellent job of saying, you are not a disappointment. Some of your actions have been disappointing. To distinguish the behavior, not the character.
Yeah.
Right? And so if you can distinguish that, do it. If you can't distinguish that, then chances are you probably shouldn't even reply, right?
Yeah.
Another thing with your spouse, and this goes to creating a safe, like you should be your spouse's safe haven. I'm not going to say safe space, but like your spouse should have, should never have a worry that you aren't their always go to for anything, right? And so one of the ways to do that is in public, you are a united front. If there's any corrections needed to be made between you and your spouse, that always happens in private. Never publicly correct or criticize your spouse.
And, fail.
Yeah. obviously there are sometimes some situations depending on who you're with and everything else, but like you don't want to know the quickest way to disrespect your spouse is to criticize them in public in front of people that they respect or who respect them, right?
Yeah.
And so you were right. He's calling back.
I told you.
Yep. So here's some examples.
Just to wrap up that point a little bit, that is 100% correct. What I think people kind of miss the point to, or don't take it too seriously. I'm guilty of this. Like, say we're out and she messes something up. I will say out loud, "What are you doing?"
Mm-hmm.
Like, not in a bad way. But even that,
yeah.
Like certain people, and I'm not saying
depending on the situation,
Janine,
you know, if it's something silly, like she's making a sandwich and she forgot to put mayo on it, like, and I'm not just saying like she's making a sandwich, right? But I'm just saying
I didn't
like,
even catch it.
If it's something, if it's something silly of like, oh crap, I made the sandwich and I forgot to put mayo on it, like, yeah, what are you doing? What are you thinking? Like that, right?
What?
But when it comes down to like let's say your kid misbehaves and you don't agree with how your spouse corrected the behavior.
Yeah, and you say that in front of the kid.
What are you doing? You don't treat our kid that way.
Yeah.
Like, that's a whole different...
Yeah.
You know, that's not a silly thing. That's a serious thing.
And I think it's more prevalent for people that have been together a shorter amount of time.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Let's be honest. Even in the first 10 years sometimes, you're feeling each other out. Especially if you got married at 22, 21, 20, 23... You're not only learning each other for those next 7 years. You're still, you don't know who you are.
Yep.
You're still developing as an adult.
Yep.
Like, so I guess I'm giving a little bit of advice here to the young guys and gals that listen to the podcast. Be cognitive of what you're saying in front of other people and look and try to understand the response you're getting.
Yeah.
Facial expressions. Comments,
yep.
Whatever, and try to, and gals are really guilty about this. You'll say something bad to one. She won't say anything to you.
Nope.
Girl, if you're pissed off, tell him.
Yeah.
If you're a girl listening to this show and he's fucking up and you don't tell him, he's going to continue that behavior forever.
Uncommunicated expectations is planned resentment.
He is just like a child.
Yeah.
Until he's corrected, he's going to keep doing that shit the same way.
Yeah.
And if he takes offense to you correcting him because he's the man,
yep.
He's not a fucking mature adult, and that's another problem in and of itself.
Yeah.
Don't be afraid to fucking stand up for shit that pisses you off.
Yeah. So like here's some examples of respect, and then we're going to give some examples of disrespect to counteract these. So examples of respect would be disagreeing privately instead of undermining your spouse in front of others, okay? Disrespect in that same scenario would be eye-rolling and sarcasm and dismissing your spouse's statement in front of others, right?
this bitch.
Yeah. Another example of respect yeah. would be saying, like, help me understand whatever, instead of attacking their character by saying, like, you always do this, you always do that, right?
Yeah, I never say that.
Like, God. Help me understand why this is so difficult for you to achieve, instead of, you never do this, you always fuck it up.
And don't answer the question, why is this so difficult for you to, and then say, because you're so fucking stupid? Like, don't answer your own questions.
Right. A disrespect would be using past mistakes as ammunition, right? And that's the common misnomer of...
That's women 101.
Though. I know.
That's their go-to.
I know. And so make sure you maintain that respect. And if, guys, if your girl treats you like this, then have that conversation. I don't like how you always hang on to those past things. They are in the past. And if you're always going to throw that in my face every time we have a disagreement, then we are never going to move past this.
Yeah, that means that you don't think that I've been able to grow and take your advice and become a better person.
Right.
That means you think I am that same person.
Right.
And if we're going to go down that path, this shit ain't going
to
work.
Right. And so this is why it's often that people show more respect to strangers than they do their spouse. And it's because familiarity erodes respect faster than conflict with strangers. So we need to make sure that we are very intentional about maintaining respect with our spouse.
Are you tired of complex and high credit card processing fees? The Void Podcast has negotiated exclusive rates for the Void listeners. This program's tailored for trade businesses like yours. And if you're using House Call Pro, switch and you can expect to save $80 for every 10,000 you process per month. Don't let high processing fees drain your profits. Visit empowerpayments.com/the void or call us at 913-423-1265 now and unlock your savings.
So
before we move on, do you ever, this is a little side tangent on the show, do you ever just get weird random texts from your dad?
Yeah.
My dad just texts me. I'm going to read it to you.
Okay. This ought to be good.
Dude, I'm telling you, he is quite the character. You know why it's illegal to do reverse cowgirl in Kentucky?
Nope.
I don't either. That's all he sent me.
Oh, he's waiting for you to... He's waiting to deliver the punchline.
What?
We will have to get that punchline later.
I love my dad. He's my man.
Yep.
He's my dog. Guy's out there, man.
Yep.
I'll text him right now. If he comes back with it all, I just...
Grant.
I don't want to get off on topic. Continue Grant, on with Grant.
Yesterday, Grant got home from school and I said, how was your day, buddy? And he goes, well, the teacher had a conversation with me because she caught me with my head down on my desk. And she says, Grant, is everything okay? And he says, I'm emotionally constipated.
What the f-
And she's like, emotionally constipated? And Grant says, yeah, I haven't given a crap in days. So,
dude, first off, I don't know where he gets his sense of humor.
Oh, he's hilarious.
You and Danielle are two of the most bland, dry.
Yeah, we're not. We're
your
boring.
Parents are that way.
Yep.
I've met her dad. He's that way. Her mom's not funny. This motherfucker's a character.
Oh, he's
dude.
Hilarious.
I love the kid like he's my own son. Both yep. your boys. I don't know where he come from.
Yep.
Are you sure he's yours?
He got some detention last week. Had to stay after school. And I cannot remember what it was, but it was one of those things where it's like, yep, that's going to happen when you do that. I cannot for the life of me remember what it was.
Dude, he is, I mean.
It's a problem with him being so freaking intelligent is school doesn't challenge him as much as it should, so he gets bored and he acts out.
You know, I always, I don't claim to be really, really smart.
Right.
But in certain areas, I am.
Mm-hmm.
And it took me years to understand why I didn't give a fuck at school, and I think that's why.
Yeah.
The only things that really challenged me was math and science, and
yeah.
they were interesting, and I loved them. They were fantastic.
I see a reply. Just hit your phone. What's it say?
I don't know, dude. I'm not sure we should do this. Because it's illegal in Kentucky to turn your back on family.
That is good shit.
I guarantee. So my dad is he's a respiratory therapist is yep. what his license is. He works for a business that like if you're on CPAP and you're elderly or you're on oxygen and those things, like he helps when someone gets released from a hospital, he goes to their house and helps them set up their oxygen tanks and their, you know, diffusers.
Tubes running all over the house.
All over their stuff, you know, like not, it's not crazy or anything, but it's in home care, you know, and he, I guarantee he's going to text me in a minute and say, yeah, I was at this old guy's house.
Yeah, dirty old man's
it's
house.
It's a dirty old man that was telling him jokes. Yep. And so he's like, oh, okay.
Yep.
So he's just texting him to me throughout the fucking day. But back to, you know, Grant being like, it's amazing to me. I think we're going to wrap up and move on, but I think adults still, that's still an issue for certain adults.
Yeah.
They don't realize that in their current job or their current business or their current role inside of their business that they're not being challenged.
Yep.
And they become complacent and lazy and they just kind of get into a groove. And then sometimes they confuse that groove with quote unquote burnout.
Yep.
But it's because they're bored.
Yeah.
You and I have this talk all the time. I literally, just another look into Dave, I will once in a while come to Mitch and go, dude, I'm just bored.
Yeah.
I need something to challenge me. I need...
Life's not supposed to be easy.
No.
Like, all these people talk about, like, oh, I'd be a millionaire, I'd just live on the beach.
But I think, like...
You would be bored out of your mind. That's why so many millionaires put a gun in their mouth.
Yeah.
It's because they are no longer challenged. They've exited their company. They've sold. They have all the money to do everything, and they realize this thing that they were chasing... They enjoyed the chase more than the destination.
That's, I think, a lot of my problem a lot of the times. It's not that I'm bored, but after, I shouldn't say that because that's a contradiction to what I said, but like after I'm super sucked into something for 3 years and the edge falls off,
yeah,
it becomes boredom or the thought of, that's the easiest way to say it, but that's not really what it is, right?
Yep.
It's there's nothing super challenging inside of it anymore.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, now, the opposite of that would be like Mike Tomlin. He's lost 7 playoff games in a row. Like,
you know,
he's never, like, for 7 playoff runs, he's never made it out of the first round.
Well, I don't think that's his personality.
No, right.
An extremely successful person can get to the top and then be like, okay, I'm fine, I'm comfortable.
Yeah.
And make a ton of money and be super successful. Mine's not even money. Mine's just...
Mine's impact. It's more impact than money.
How many lives can I change? Do I feel like I'm making a difference? If I'm not making a difference, I feel bored.
Yeah, if I can make an impact and I can pay my bills, I'm happy.
Yeah.
Right?
Mine is the challenge of, can I do it?
Yeah. Yep.
You know what I mean? And don't let that deter you from being successful. Stay focused. Finish it out.
Yep.
Have some grit and determination. Finish out what you're working on.
Yeah.
Then move on to the next thing. Don't be a bitch and say, because I'm not challenged, I'm copping out of this, and then pass off an excuse of, well, we weren't doing as well as I thought, or it was someone else's fault, or it was this. No, it's you.
Yeah.
You're bored. Who cares? Finish the fucking job and then get something else.
Yeah. Yep.
Let's move
on to respect in friendships.
We both babbled there for about 10 minutes.
Yeah. So respect keeps friendships healthy, and it makes both people in the friendship receive mutual benefit from the friendship, right?
Yeah.
And so key behaviors when it comes to friends is honoring your friend's time and boundaries, creating honesty without being cruel. In other words, be direct and candid, but don't tear them down, right?
Yeah, you can
be. And then celebrating wins without comparison. Okay. So in other words, it's okay to be happy for your friend that is momentarily ahead of you.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Of course. If
you don't celebrate them when they're momentarily ahead of you, they're not going to celebrate you when you're momentarily ahead of them.
Yeah. People want to think that, we'll just use Mitch and I as an example. Mitch is going through a great, successful time right now. People want to think of, if I go to Mitch and I say, dude, congratulations, this is so great, that they they would automatically think, well, Mitch thinks that I'm not as worthy as him.
Right.
He's better. That's not the case.
No.
That's usually a self-doubt thing, not necessarily what you were just talking about. You know what I mean?
I love the popcorn analogy with that.
Oh, agree.
Yeah, you put a bag of popcorn in the microwave. All those kernels pop at different times.
Yeah.
But they're all equally as valuable. They all taste equally as good. And some of those kernels never pop. And fuck those kernels because they hurt your teeth. But...
that's good.
But like, there's a first kernel to pop and there's a last kernel to pop. But when it's all done and you open that bag, you can't tell the difference.
No.
Like, so don't be mad that somebody popped off before you did.
Yeah.
It's just, it was just their time. The things aligned. They had put in the work and the opportunities presented themselves and it aligned for them to see success. And if you're, as long as you're putting in the work and you're recognizing opportunities, yours is going to come. It might be next year. It might be 5 years from now, but you're still going
to
get there.
Yeah. Well, and I think a side note to that is that people can be, I want to say this two ways. People can be friends and not be on the same level.
Yep.
People can also only be friends with people that are on their level.
Yeah.
If you are doing that, like this guy's my friend because he's also wealthy and you're placing money above actual friendship and connection,
mm-hmm.
those aren't your real friends.
Yeah.
Nine times out of 10, they are not friends with you, dude.
Yeah. If they're only friends with you or they're only hanging around with you while you're buying drinks, and then when you stop buying, they stop hanging out, that wasn't a friend. Right? They were just using you for your money.
Well, Patrick Mahomes had a thing when he was a rookie. Or maybe the year two, he's like, hey, when we go out with all of our friends that are friends, we rotate who pays the bill. I don't pay the bill all the time.
Yeah.
Because right. that's not true friendship.
Right.
True friendship isn't just hanging out because this guy's made a ton of fucking money.
Right.
And it's also not being a fucking mooch.
Right.
You know?
Right. Exactly.
Like, have respect for a person's personal accomplishments.
Yeah.
How they treat you. Above everything else, money yeah. should be the last reason
yep.
that you are friends with somebody.
Yeah,
I have friends that ain't got a pot to piss in. I love them more than the majority of my friends, and I know love isn't tangible, but that I've met
that
later,
are wealthy.
That I've met later in life because of the money that I have.
Yep.
And I'm not rich, don't get me wrong, but
right.
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But those people are still... They are my dear friends. I
yeah.
have a real connection with them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And they respect me. I respect them. Mitch goes out tomorrow and makes $50 million. It's not going to change our friendship.
No.
I go out tomorrow and I make $100 million. It's not going to change our friendship.
No.
Not one fucking bit.
No. I'm going to celebrate with you. I'm going to take you to dinner even though you're the one with all the money. Right?
Yeah. I'm taking you to dinner because you sold your business.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, it's a celebration. You have to celebrate your friends for their accomplishments, not celebrate them for your accomplishments.
Exactly. Exactly. So one of the main things is honoring time and boundaries, right? So like, let's say you set up to go grab drinks with somebody and you're the person that's always fashionably late and haha, you always dismiss it. No,
oh,
that's
going to piss me
that's
off.
Fucking disrespectful.
Oh, it makes me so fucking mad, dude.
Right?
Oh.
And the moment you no longer respect somebody's time, especially as you move up in the level of influence and your level of impact, your time becomes more valuable. Now you're causing big problems.
Well, it's because once you get there, you know that time is more important than money.
Right.
Like you have figured out the riddle.
Right.
My time is worth more than anything you can give me usually.
Yeah. And so when somebody goes out of their way to include you and you disrespect them by not showing up or showing up late, it's huge. And
they ain't calling you anymore, I can tell you that.
And that tells you more about the person that was late than the person who set aside the time. Right?
Yeah.
So some examples of respect when dealing with friendships. We've like address issues directly. Don't gossip. Okay? If I had a problem with you, I would address it with you. I wouldn't gossip to Danielle and then gossip to Janine and then gossip to our other friends and then tell everybody yeah. but you, right?
Yeah.
I would tell you.
Yeah.
If
I schedule something without talking to you first, you say, hey, dude, I can't do that.
Yeah.
You don't just make it to the call and then, you know, beat around the bush for 3 to 4 weeks and then come back and say, oh, well, I can't do that because you didn't do that over here.
Right.
You know what
right.
I mean?
And so another sign of respect is accepting different seasons of availability, right? Especially as entrepreneurs and business owners, we have busy times and slow times. And we got to make hay when the sun shines, right? We were smashed busy in December. And so those guys in our plumbing company,
they were
busy doing work. They were less available to do work or to have fun in December, right? Now we're a little slower in January and they're more available to have fun. And if that is your friend, you need to respect their busy times because they're out there hustling and they're out there putting in the work and they're out there making the money. And then you need to respect their slow times like, hey, I actually have more time to hang out with you now. Cool. And you have to understand that that's temporary because they're going to get busy again.
Yeah.
Disrespect with your friends. Jokes that repeatedly hit sensitive areas, right? Let's say you got a friend that used to have a drinking problem. Maybe he had a couple DUIs. Maybe he did something he regrets while drunk. Let it fucking go.
I'm trying to think if this is me.
Don't. No, no, no. It's not you. I know. But I'm just saying, like, you're a disrespectful friend.
Yeah.
If you're always hitting on the one area that is their weakness. Like, oh, we would invite Brad, but, you know, Brad just, we don't want to tempt him with that bottle. We are going to be at a bar. Instead of like, hey, Brad, you going to come with us? I'll drink tea with you.
Well, right? And it's like you invite that friend and you go to the bar and you've had a few drinks and you say, this guy's, what are you doing over there? Lightweight? Yeah. You don't have a drink? Blah, blah, blah.
Or,
do you know how much strength it took for him to come hang out with his friends
right.
that's not drinking?
Right.
And just be is there because he loves you and is your friend?
And
like, goddamn, man.
The worst kind of friend in the alcohol situation is the one who tries to get you drunk. That is the worst guy. I used to associate with a guy who where his MO
I know who you're talking about.
Was he wanted to get you smashed every time you went out. That is the worst type of friend ever. Cut ties with that person. Move on.
It's
disassociate quickly.
Well, it depends.
They enjoy seeing you in a bad state is what it is.
Well, if it's a problem for you. If it's not a problem for you and you can handle it, and it's, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, if you have that type of relationship, that's different. But if it's a, everyone has to be at this because I'm insecure because I am this.
Yeah.
Like, that's a cut loose. See you, dog.
Another way to disrespect your friends is to keep score. You hit on this earlier, right?
Oh, yeah.
I'm not coming to this because you didn't come to that or whatever. Like, don't keep score. Especially as soon as you start accepting there are different seasons of availability, you're not going to keep score.
Well, yeah.
I invited her to my kid's birthday and she didn't come, and so I'm not going to her kid's birthday. And it's like, hold on, there's a season of availability there. Maybe they were out of town on work. Maybe all kinds of things. Don't keep score.
Yeah.
Right?
And we talked about a little bit earlier, you know, people that are different in different stages of life with kids.
Yeah.
But, you know, they're gone. It has nothing to do with money available. It's like, you've had your time.
Right.
You couldn't make it for them earlier, and they didn't, like, disown you for it. They knew. You're like, man, they got little kids. It's no big deal.
Right.
We're going to go out. And then after those kids got grown and they had kids, you guys were friends for a while, and now you're empty nesters. Don't go to them because they still have the kids and be like, hey, why can't we hang out anymore?
Right.
That doesn't mean they don't want to be friends with you. That doesn't mean they don't love you. It means, hey, man, I got responsibilities.
Right.
I'm sorry. I love you.
Yep.
You know, but just is what it is right now.
Yeah. Yeah. So, as this transitions, like friendships are very similar to employees, but they are very different because employees, you do have a hierarchy of leadership, right?
So that's a whole nother ballgame.
Right. And so as this moves into employees, some key behaviors of respect when it comes to respecting your employees, clarity beats intensity. In other words, I would rather go slow and be very clear with communication than speed through a high intensity speech and think they got it all, right?
You have to be very direct.
Yeah. Other things, very similar to your spouse, praise your employees publicly, correct your employees privately. Never publicly shame your employees, ever. It will demoralize them. It is the biggest sign of disrespect ever.
Let's be honest. It completely discredits you as a boss too.
Yes. Now, the only caveat to that is if you have an employee that's being disrespectful to you in public, it is disrespect to the rest of the team to allow that behavior to happen and not correct it immediately. Now, you're not going to go off the rails. You're not going to solve the whole problem, but it's perfect. If you have an employee, like let's say you're leading a team meeting and you have an employee that's disrespecting you in the meeting.
Yeah, you got to be firm and direct.
It's perfectly okay to ask them to leave and spend the rest of the meeting in their truck and you will talk to them later.
Snuff them.
Okay?
You got to snuff that out.
You are disrespecting your team if you allow that one employee to derail the meeting.
Well, and not only that, if you lose respect inside of your business as a manager or owner, the whole business could be at risk.
Yep.
It may be a week, it may be a month, it may be 6 months or a year.
Yeah.
Like depending on how bad it is.
Yeah.
And that's at the detriment and, like you said, the disrespect to the whole team because you owe it to them to be the captain of that ship.
Yep.
And if it gets off rails, you know, whatever, and that you start, you know, you start losing employees.
Yeah.
Guys start laxing on jobs. You're not bringing in enough revenue.
I can
guarantee you. So you have to lay
you.
Guys off. Like that, people don't understand how detrimental that can be when you lose control
yeah.
as a manager or boss.
I guarantee you, if you're the type of person that has a lot of turnover and you're the type of person that says, good help's hard to find, you can't find anybody who wouldn't work these days, and you say that over and over and over, you're the problem. And most likely, the problem is you don't know how to respect employees.
It
you think
be.
Employees are like slaves.
You people right? underestimate the fact that they will speak things into existence.
Yeah.
Like, not to be biblical, but
yeah.
like one of the a real teaching in the Bible is if you keep saying it over, and this is layman's terms, if you keep saying it over and over and over and over and over again, it becomes truth and it becomes fact. Business is the same way.
Yeah. Yeah, that goes all the way back to the first one of respecting yourself.
Yeah.
What you tell yourself over and over happens. So if you tell yourself you're a loser, you're a fucking loser.
Yeah.
But if you tell yourself, I'm a winner that slipped up. I'm a winner that had a momentary failure. I'm a winner that had a momentary setback.
Yeah. I'm a winner that's having to go uphill a little harder than maybe other winners. It's going to take me a little longer to get there, but God damn it, I am a winner.
Right. So some...
Speak it into existence.
Some examples here would be like when you're leading team meetings and everything else, give very clear expectations instead of assuming they understand it. And I got a piece of advice from a guy a long time ago that was like, when you're leading a meeting or you're teaching about something new, you have to tell them what you're going to tell them. You have to tell them, and then you have to tell them what you told them. And essentially, you're basically finding three different ways to say the same thing, but you're coming at it from those three different ways because chances are they may not have retained it in one of those two or two of those or one of those three or two of those three. And
yeah.
so telling them what you're going to tell them may be enough, but maybe they still don't understand it. And so telling them may be enough, but then summarizing it with what you told them usually is the end cap on that.
Yes.
And then
I'll follow.
Another way to have respect with your employees is asking, what do you need to succeed? So I look at, you know, a lot of people have like an organizational chart for the business, like, and it's like a pyramid, right? With
yeah,
a point
it's
on
an
top.
Org chart, ORG
yeah.
chart.
And so you got like the president, and then you got like the management team, and then you got like the field team.
Yeah.
And the pyramid gets bigger at the bottom. And a lot of people think that like the field team works for those above them, and then the managers work for the president above them.
It's opposite of that.
Flip that pyramid upside down. Do exactly what the government just did with the food guide pyramid. Literally just turn it over.
Dude.
Okay?
Oh.
It's the owner's job to work for the managers. What do you need to succeed, managers? How can I help you succeed, managers? And it's the manager's job to work for the employees. What can I do for my employees so they succeed?
Succeed.
Right?
Yeah.
And so when the moment you recognize that pyramid goes the other way and the ownership works for the management team and the management team works for the employees, everything changes. And now
yeah.
it becomes, how can I help you succeed? Right?
Yeah. I couldn't agree 100, more than 100%.
So now let's flip this around and go employees to owners. Okay? Now, if you already own your company, your owners are your customers. If you don't own your company yet, your owners are the employers. Right? So key behaviors there would be owning responsibilities without excuse. If your manager tasks you with a duty and you oftentimes put up excuses or you excuse the outcome, well, I didn't make a sale because this, because that, because this.
Yeah. Passing blame is a real problem.
Right. So take ownership of that responsibility. Communicating early when problems arise. You don't want to overly communicate, but the moment you realize there's a problem, go ahead and share that. Hey, we're dealing with this over here. I got it under control, but I'm going to let you know. Right?
Yeah. People like to put that off because they don't want to look bad.
Right.
Like I was just saying, they don't want to take that ownership, right?
Yeah.
And so they just keep putting it off. What happens?
But
if there is a problem, it's problems time 10.
Yeah. And so just maintaining the awareness that we're getting into a tough situation, I'm going to go ahead and communicate that. And so that way, now my manager or my employer, now they know that, hey, he's struggling. I might need to give a little bit of extra attention over here if he can't figure it out. Right?
Yeah.
That's you're just preparing them to assist you in success in the future. Respecting company time and resources. Okay. So we don't want to abuse company time or resources.
Used to be my motto.
Yeah.
I will take everything I can.
Yeah. And so In other words, we don't want to be on the clock and scrolling on social media 24/7. That's an abuse of time.
Mitch.
We don't want to be freely taking resources off the truck and putting them in your house. Right? We want to respect the company's resources. We want to respect the company's vehicles, respect the company's tools, respect the company's uniforms. There's a whole lot of disrespect that comes from you not having to pay for it, right?
Man,
employer provides the vehicle and then you trash it. Employer provides the vehicle and then you bitch about having to wash it.
Yeah.
Employer provides the vehicle and you damage it, right? Meanwhile, your car is blemish free, but you don't mind curb checking the company car, right? Fuck it, it's the company car. They pay for it. Right? So maintaining respect of the company's time and resources. Here's some examples of disrespecting your employers. Here's some examples of respecting your employer. Okay, we just talked about behaviors. Okay. Now we got examples. Flagging issues before deadlines instead of after. Okay, your boss tells you you got to have that report done by this day at this time. And you're working on the report. Like it's pretty easy to disrespect them and brush it off and procrastinate it. And then you get to the deadline and now you're full of excuses. But how do you respect your employer in that situation? You work on it ahead of time. You don't procrastinate. And then once you see that it's going to take more time than you anticipated, you let them know as early as possible. Hey, I'm working on this and I'm working feverishly, but I may not have it done by the deadline.
Well, and that's because you're actually doing the work.
Yes.
You're not making an excuse for the work you were not doing.
Exactly.
That's different.
Yes.
That actually shows your employer that, hey, this person actually cares, was actually doing the work,
yeah,
and is just running into an issue.
Yeah.
People aren't dumb. Employees want to pretend like their boss is dumb. They know that when you come to them 2 days after and say, oh, well, this happened or that happened or this happened, that you just fucking put it off and didn't do what you were supposed to do.
Yeah. And now you're just trying to deflect.
They know.
Yeah.
And, you know, this is a business owner's show or entrepreneur show,
mm-hmm,
right? But if you ever, if you stumbled across this podcast and you have the ambition to own your own business, you have to break those employee bad habits before you can ever move on to owning your own business. If you just decide, I'm going to start my own business one day, and those are your habits, those are things you do regularly, you're going to fail.
Yep.
You're going to fall on your fucking face, dude.
Yeah.
It ain't going to happen.
Every time.
Every time.
One last example is disagreeing professionally without undermining the authority. This one's hard. If your boss comes to you and says, hey, we're going to do this objective, but we're going to do it this way, and you see a different way it could be done and you think it's better, instead of saying, well, you're an idiot, it's obvious you don't know what you're talking about, let's do it this way, that's disrespectful. But a respectful way would be, hey, boss, love the idea, love the outcome. What if we did it this way? I think it would work better this way because it would save us this step or this step. Okay, this goes to the same thing of don't complain to your boss unless you have a proposed solution. Don't bring up an issue to your boss unless you have a proposed solution, because if you do that, you're just complaining.
Yeah.
Whereas if you bring up an issue and you're like, hey, boss, Frank ain't pulling his weight, and I think it's because he's got some problems at home, because he's coming in all flustered, he's coming in unhappy, right?
Dude, he's been sleeping in his car.
Right.
I found him sleeping in his car this morning.
Right. So
that happened to me.
That's different than coming to your boss and saying, Frank's fucking lazy, fire him, right?
Yeah.
That's bringing your boss problems with no solutions. So the respectful way to bring your boss problems is think about it one step further and think about it from the idea of proposing a solution. Now, your boss name, the goal is not that your boss takes your solution. The goal is that you've thought about this problem. I'm not just going to raise flags with you. The goal is I'm raising flags and I'm being considerate enough to say, this isn't just a flag. I think this is the cause of the problem, right? So,
well, and to your point, sometimes when that happens, right, it's showing that you care.
Yes.
Right. And so say he doesn't take your initial suggestion, right? But what it does is it opens his eyes to the next suggestion.
Yeah.
Or the suggestion after that.
Yeah.
If this goes on for 6 months and you know there's a problem, like, then you either go over his head, move on, you know, whatever. Yeah. An example for me, so people that haven't listened to the show before, I got my start tinning houses. Like, I hung ductwork for 5 years fucking straight.
Yep.
And I was good. I still am good, motherfucker. But I I had a different way of doing things and being organized, right?
Yep.
And laying out houses so that they could be efficiently done. And I just saw things a little bit different.
Yep.
No one listened to a word I said.
Right.
I was just an employee peon until a couple of houses where I just said, fuck it, and did it how I wanted.
Yep.
And this is risky. Let's be honest. I just did it how I wanted. One house, got my ass chewed. Second house, got my ass chewed. Third house, got my ass chewed. Houses started being finished and worked well. Oh, shit, maybe this guy could do this.
Yeah.
There's a split in the business. Oh, Dave was laying out his own houses.
Right.
He didn't care. He was doing it this way. Maybe we should do it that way. Like, it's risky.
Or maybe we should let Dave do it that way.
Well,
if it works.
Yeah. And,
right?
And it just kind of, like, I had to, and we see this all the time, and in the construction space, there's so much testosterone. It happens more there than a lot of, like, you know, office building jobs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because everyone wants to be right. Everyone wants to be top dog, all of that stuff. But sometimes you have to just risk being wrong, being fired, being demoted. Let's be honest. If you have a better solution and it does work, you will be appreciated eventually.
Yeah.
Maybe it's not at that business. Maybe it is on in your own business. Maybe it's at another business. But what do we talk about all the time? People that are willing to take risks are the ones that are the most successful.
Well, and also...
I just broke my fucking pen.
We have a fairly popular short on this about go where you're tolerated, or go where you're appreciated, not where you're tolerated, right? And so, you know, that short talks about that world-class violinist, and he played in the subway of New York, and he raised like $30.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
But that night, he goes and sells out some theater for $100 a seat.
Yeah.
And it's because in the subway, he was just tolerated. But in the theater, he was appreciated, right?
Yeah.
And so... If you find yourself consistently contributing what you feel are great ideas, and you're looking at, you're not being selfish just so they use your idea. You're looking at it objectively.
Yeah, I
and
you're have saying, a solution here.
Yeah, and you're saying this idea would have been better than what happened. And it's again, it's not a selfish thing. It's not a braggy thing. It's just everybody would have benefited if they would have done it my way. Well, maybe you're in a place where you're only tolerated and not respected.
Yeah.
Right? So... this changes a little bit in the remote workplace because, when you're dealing with remote employees, maybe virtual assistants or stay at home CSRs or something like that, you kind of get a little bit emboldened by the keyboard and the text keyboard and
it becomes
a little bit different because you're not being able to pick up on the soft skills of watching their body language and their eye movement and everything else. And so things get taken out of context pretty easily in remote situations. So when you're dealing with a remote employee, the best ways to respect somebody is respect their output, not their screen time. Okay. Prime example of this. I gave my virtual professional what was to me 30 hours of work every week. I don't care how long it takes her to get it done. It saves me 30 hours a week. Okay.
Yeah.
So if she gets it done in 3 hours a week and I'm paying her for the full week, I don't care. I trust the outcome, not the screen time.
Well, you trust the value
of
the work performed.
Exactly. This also goes right along with avoiding micromanagement. Okay. Again, trust the outcome, not the end. I've told this story on the podcast before. We used to have this HOA president that was like a tyrant. There was a guy down the street building a fence. We have a lot of rock in our neighborhood. And so they were sinking all these fence posts, but because of the rock, some fence posts didn't sink as far as others.
So you got 10-foot, 8-foot, 6-foot, whatever.
Yeah, and we're going to have 4-foot fences in here, but a lot of his posts that he was initially sinking were way over 4 feet, and it's because they couldn't dig them as deep.
You can't have 6-footers out here? Oh, okay.
Nope. And so the HOA president, while the fence is mid-construction, goes and slaps a violation notice on his door. Because he sees these posts, some of them, like they're all different heights, but he sees this post over 4 feet. And he's like, the fence isn't even done yet. So yeah. He's trying to micromanage the construction of the fence. And for those that have never built a fence before, you put all the posts in, and then you run a chalk line across all the top of them at the desired height, and then you cut them off.
Yeah.
Right? But yeah. But he's in there wanting to micromanage this step instead of the outcome.
First off, if you can avoid living in an HOA, don't do it.
Yeah.
I love you. I don't know how you do it, dude.
Ours is pretty laxed. It helps that I was the president for a little while. I got it. I got the culture in the right direction. Yeah, I'm serious. Not a single violation was put on anybody's house in a year.
I know. So I just...
I kind of let them know that you can rule through friendship and not through authoritarianism if you want.
People... You know what? We're not going to get into it. Yeah. Continue on. I'm sorry.
So other things that you can do is have clear written communication. Very clear, very written, very boring. It's not sexy.
Very concise.
Very, very clear communication. And so I love my VA, VP, whatever you want to call her, virtual assistant, virtual professional. It's my dream one day to go over to the Philippines and meet her and hang out with her for a while.
Lida.
Lida is her name.
Dude, first off, the Philippines has great vacation spots.
Yeah, I know. I know.
A lot of them are like the Maldives.
Here's some examples of remote workers and like how to develop relationships with them. Is not expecting instant replies for their outside work hours, right? Just because you think of something at 10 p.m., you email your remote worker, don't expect them to reply at 10 p.m. They're off. They're not working, right?
Yeah.
And so making sure, like, you wouldn't expect your employee that's off the clock to work with you in person at 10 p.m. Yeah. So why would you expect your remote worker to do the same thing? And then other examples are measuring results instead of availability. Just kind of like where we started this thing. We're trusting the output, not the screen time. I'm measuring the results. So as long as I get my reports that I'm supposed to get at the times I'm supposed to get them, cool. And if I send her an email during work hours and it takes her 2 hours to reply, I don't care. If it was really that important, I would have addressed it. This is urgent. If you're on the flip side of this, if you are a remote employee needing to respect your remote employer, some things you can do. Over-communicate on progress, okay? In other words, an end-of-day report is awesome if you're a remote employee. Sending an end-of-day report talking about what you did, what progress you made, where you're struggling, everything else. Respecting deadlines and visibility needs. And so, in other words, if you're a procrastinator and you're trying to hide that, you're not going to respect their deadline or the visibility. But if you are not procrastinating, good. That's a sign of respect. And so you're going to be proactive with letting your boss know, like, hey, this thing's deadline's coming up. I hope to have this objective by Monday, this objective by Tuesday, this objective by Wednesday, proofreading by Thursday, and we should have it done by Friday. And then you're giving them an end-of-day report saying, okay, I got a little ahead of myself today, so I actually started on Tuesday's objective. Tuesday's objective ran long, so I got to, before I can get on Wednesdays, I got to button up Tuesdays.
Yeah.
And just keeping that very unsexy, clear, visible line of communication open. And so some examples of that are exactly what I just said, keeping very clear end-of-day reports or end-of-week reports as to what you've got done, what you still have to do. And then clarifying priorities instead of guessing. Hey, boss, if we can't get this done and meet this deadline, what is more important about this? Is it this part of the report or is it this part of the report? I just want to know what to place is important first. So that way, if I somehow fail, I still fail in the best fashion possible, right?
Yeah.
And so that right there is the easiest way, just being very clear. It's not sexy.
Communication is so underrated.
Yes.
When it comes to marriages, friendships, business associates, employees.
Yeah.
If you have, we talked about this earlier, when you don't communicate and someone is thinking that you should mm-hmm. or that this is going to happen, it's the animosity thing again. They build it up in their head of, oh, this guy's just not doing his work.
Yep.
Oh, this guy's not actually trying. This guy's actually doing something over here that he's not supposed to be doing. That's not the truth.
Yeah.
To put those doubts at rest, communication solves all those issues.
Yeah.
They no longer are guessing. They are no longer building an animosity because of the guesses and the presumptions that they've made.
Exactly.
Open lines of communication, regardless of how difficult it is for you on a personal level, mm-hmm. is a huge key to success.
Yeah.
Regardless of what it is about.
Yep.
Or who it's with.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's not sexy.
No, this it's not sexy. It's
this
the
is the
truth.
Unsexy part of business, but it happens. Business is not the old school Orange County choppers where we're ripping off doors and arguing and screaming and yelling at each other all the time.
That's entertainment.
That's entertainment.
People confuse entertainment with what actual business and successful business fucking looks like.
Right. Business, if you really get into a good, successful business, it's fucking boring. It's processes. It's procedures. It's communications with a level of respect to each other.
Yeah.
But it's high productivity, right? Go look at the Indiana Hoosiers football team.
They are lights fucking out right now, dude. They're from nothing to playing in the national championship.
They're a team of fucking misfits.
I love it.
But they don't get emotional.
No.
They just go in there. They all do their jobs. They contribute where they can. They respect each other. And look at the outcome.
They have great accountability towards each other, which is a show of respect.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's exactly what it is.
It's crazy.
It's fan. I hope they win.
Yeah. Yeah. They should.
I can't decide if I'm going to put money on it or not.
Yeah, no.
I just can't decide.
Thankfully, I don't gamble, so.
Well, maybe you should. See, that's being a bad friend. Yeah. You shouldn't tell your friends to gamble if they don't gamble. That's a lack of respect.
I just don't understand it enough to be good at it. But some key takeaways from this. Respect is a behavior. It's not an intention, okay? Respect is something you do. It's a verb.
It's a verb. This motherfucker's going eighth grade English on me.
I'm just saying.
I love it. I'm not disagreeing.
And respect doesn't require agreement. I can respect you without requiring that you respect me. Respect is all about the giver, okay? Not the receiver. And so
yeah,
the moment you understand that, you will always be respectful of other people, and you will always recognize when you are being disrespected. And as kids, it's pretty easy to get disrespected. And in isolated incidents from adults, it's pretty easy to get disrespected. But when somebody shows you who they are, let them. If somebody is going to repeatedly disrespect your time and not honor your time or not honor your commitments or speak to you in a way that you don't like to be spoken to, they're showing you exactly who they are. Let them. Because let them show themselves right out the door, right?
Yeah.
It's very difficult to get an adult to change their mind. It's very difficult to get an adult to change their behavior. You can't want more for somebody than they want for themselves. And so you can't want more respect from somebody unless they want to respect you more.
You know what's crazy is everyone has said at the beginning of the year, you know, what's something that you may change for yourself or an area that you want to improve yourself in.
Mm-hmm.
And for some reason this year, I have thought about it a lot. And I'm like, you know, nothing. Maybe this is an area that I should really focus my attention to.
It's possible.
I think so. I mean, maybe.
I always struggle with it, but
I think I do struggle with it.
How you handle respect when tension mounts determines how respectful you are, right? It's easy to be respectful to people when everybody's in a good mood. The holiday Christmas parties. Everyone's in a good mood. Nobody's working. It's pretty easy to be respectful with the whole team,
yeah,
right? And then you go back to work and somebody has an issue. Somebody has a callback. Somebody made a mistake. And you just jump right back into that disrespectful crap, right?
Yeah.
Let's talk about like a, I mean, I know we're wrapping up, but like another example, like in your spousal relationship. It's easy to have a conversation about respect and do all that, but then when somebody drops the ball, do you immediately go back to disrespecting or do you give them grace and say,
yeah,
you know, hey, just like we had talked about, this has happened. Oh, I know. I'm trying. I just made a mistake and I'm doing better, but I'm not perfect yet.
I'm working on it.
Right? If you go, if that spouse goes right back to, I knew you wouldn't change, you never change, right? That's
yeah,
disrespectful, right?
Yeah.
How can I help you succeed, right? And so when you have a relationship that's built on a high level of respect, everybody wins, everybody is happier, everybody enjoys being around you more. And so one of the most toxic relationships you can have or friend groups you can have is when nobody respects anybody. And you can usually identify like circles of friend groups that are like that. And it's usually that friend group that you can't introduce to any other friend group. Because you may have a friend group that everybody respects each other and there's progress happening in that group and people are encouraging each other to go push forward and do better. And then you have this other friend group where everybody tears everybody down. They tear down people that aren't in the group at that moment. They tear down outsiders and they
yeah,
talk about people instead of talking about like ideas, right?
Yeah.
Those are usually disrespectful friend groups. And those are usually friend groups where you don't feel good after hanging out with them.
I am very fortunate that none of my friend groups are that way.
Right.
And
right.
I think, you know...
You level up.
I don't know if it's a level up thing or if it's just a thing that you grow and mature and realize I'm just not going to deal with it.
Yeah.
And so, I know we've said it 4 times on the show already, that all those circles get smaller.
Mm-hmm.
Well, all of the circles inside of the circle get smaller.
Yeah.
So instead of having 6 different groups of friends, you got 2.
Yep.
You know? And it's like,
yep.
That's where I'm at. And you know what a real sign of personal respect is? Not needing friends to validate who you are.
Yeah.
Because you respect yourself enough to keep your own peace.
Yeah.
To keep your own peace of mind, to understand that what's important to you may not be important to other people, but you just don't give a fuck anymore.
Right.
Like, it's amazing to me how many people, we talk about keeping up the Joneses with the Joneses as far as financially, right? But how much that impacts the people you hang out with, as in you want to hang out with them just to have more friends.
Right.
Why?
Why? Right.
Fucking why?
You care too much about what other people think at that point.
Do not. Rule one in my life is I give 0 fucks what anyone thinks that I don't hold at the same or higher respect than I hold myself.
Right. Like if I came to you with an issue or a concern, you would respect that.
Oh, but fucking 100%.
But some random stranger that doesn't even know you tries to correct your behavior in something and you don't even care.
If you came to me and you were like, Dave, dude, our books are fucking out of whack at Tradewinds. You fucking been drinking too much over here. You're not in the shape you were 2 years ago.
Right.
Like I would be like, dude, fuck.
Right.
I'm letting down someone that I hold to the same level of respect that I should be holding myself to.
Right.
What am I doing?
Right.
And I will say, in addition to that, one of the real benefits of your friend, and I'm not saying everyone should shrink their friend circle by any means, but one benefit of having a smaller circle of friends is it's easier, one, to know that they really have your best interests at heart,
mm-hmm.
right? And that they are more on your same level mm-hmm. because you've dropped those other ones off and you can take real advice from them to heart.
Yeah.
And really understand what they're saying.
Yeah.
And it actually helps you improve your life other than going out with your group of friends that's only 6 or 7 that only gets drunk on the weekends, that only does whatever, and they're like, oh, you're fucking up here, and you're fucking up there, and you're this and that. Meanwhile, that guy's a regular at the bar that you go to once a week. He's mm-hmm. there every day. Doesn't have a fucking pot to piss in. Has 3 fucking baby mamas.
Thinks he's got the world figured out.
Thinks he's got the world by the fucking balls, which, hey, if that's his life, that's fine. But understanding that the advice he's giving you is from a level that you're not trying to reach.
Right.
That's just a waste of your fucking time and a detriment to your overall mental health, financial health, family health in some cases, health with the relationships you have like your and I's would be.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It's to me, it seems blatantly obvious.
Yeah.
To other people, I think they really don't take it to heart. And they don't think about it like they should.
Yep.
And they don't understand that this is really hurting me.
Yeah.
This is really dragging me down and holding me from obtaining the success that I really want to see and really am actually working towards.
Right. Right. That's exactly it. Is you recognize the moment you recognize you're not respecting other people enough, you realize that that is holding you back from seeing the success you want to have. And so in heightening your level of respect for other people will change your level of success directly. And I've always found it interesting that there are some really good corporate business leaders that always just seem to have the right thing to say. They always seem to approach each situation perfectly. And
God, that's my goal.
Right.
God.
They could have an employee that's just completely wrecked and they had jobs they wanted to do today and everything else. And then this employee has a personal matter happen. And in that employer or that corporate leader finds a way to respectfully take care of their employee knowing that everything I wanted to get done in work today ain't going to happen. And they still find a way to maintain respect for that employee and take the day, do what you need to do. Can I give you a ride? Can I call somebody? Is there anything you need me to do for you, right?
Yeah. And they're completely selfless.
Yeah.
Is where it comes from. And
that's the idea of a manager working for their people.
And they're able to see 2 weeks out,
right,
almost, that if I go to bat for this person right now,
yeah,
I know that this person, this is not their inherent personality. This,
yep,
is an isolated incident. And if I go to them, it's almost like a paradox. If I go to them and I give them everything I have now, they're going to come back and bat hard for me.
Yeah.
For the next, maybe not 2 months, but for the next month,
yeah,
they're going to overachieve on their numbers. It's,
yep,
almost, I don't want to get into psychological bullshit, but it's almost manipulation on the owner's part, you know?
Well, I look at it called...
It's not manipulation as in manipulating that employee. It's manipulation as in work going in, work going out, and mm-hmm, then outcome. It's not,
yeah,
necessarily that they're manipulating that person, but they can see everything that's going on and know how to get the most out of it and make that employee feel loved at their job.
Yep. I call it giver's gain. The more I give, the,
yeah,
more I gain, right? The more I pour into my employees, the more my employees pour into the company. The more my employees pour into the customers. The less I pour into my employees, the less they care too. And so if you have employees, treat your employees exactly like you want your employees to treat your customers. And if you treat your employees like shit, your employees are going to treat your customers like shit. But if you treat your employees with respect and you're constantly thinking about things that you shouldn't be thinking, like that most people don't think about, right? In other words, most employers are like, you come to work for me, you work 8 hours a day, and you're like my slave that I pay. But
yeah,
if you think about things in a different way of like, hey, this guy's in a bad mood, and instead of recognizing the lack of productivity that's going to happen, you say, hey, this guy's in a bad mood. I wonder what's going on. I wonder if things are okay at home. I wonder if he's struggling in this area or this area. And you focus more on the cause of their bad behavior instead of the result of their bad behavior, you'd be amazed at how much that guy's going to be willing to do for you when you care about him on that next level, right?
Yeah.
So, like one of my guys at the plumbing company, he's getting ready to buy this Ford Bronco that will run but doesn't run currently. And it's like an hour away. And I have a truck that can haul a car, and I have access to a trailer that can haul a car. And so he like sent me the link wanting my opinion. Like, do you think it's worth this? Do you think it's worth that? What do you make of this and all that? Like, he's just trying to gauge my opinion on, is this a good buy?
Yeah.
And not like I went above and beyond. And not only did I say, I think it's a good buy, I'm like, it sounds like it's not going to drive home. Like, let me know what day, we'll go get it. Like, we'll just grab the truck and trailer and go. And so being able to care for your employees to that kind of level, like,
yeah,
you know, showing that kind of respect, right?
Yeah.
Not only like bad employers are like, why are you inconvenient? Like, this is your own work hours looking at cars for sale. What the fuck? You know? And they rule with an iron fist and they micromanage. Meanwhile, I'm like, no, this is freaking, that's a good buy, especially if it needs the work that it says it needs. You can get that thing running.
Yeah.
And good deal.
We talk about it all the time. Relationship building is, those are relationships that are strong are the building blocks for success.
Yes.
Regardless of if it's personal, whether it's business, whether it's employee-employer, it doesn't matter.
Right.
If you have a good relationship with someone, and this,
yep,
goes back to what we were talking about, they will have respect for you.
Yep.
You will have respect for them. When you really need them to perform at their job, they will.
Yep.
If there is always a rift, what you were saying before of, oh, why are you looking at that on company time, this and that, that person's not going to go at bat for you.
Right.
If you're saying, actively saying, oh, you shouldn't be doing that at work, they feel less connected to their place of employment,
mm-hmm,
than they ever have.
Yeah.
And if they feel you don't have their back, they aren't going to have yours.
Right.
When that sewer call comes in.
Yeah.
When
that late night call comes
Thursday
in or
morning.
Whatever, right.
If you've
backed your guys over and over and over, they're going to go to bat for you when you need them to.
Yeah.
So...
We're babbling.
Yeah.
We should probably wrap us up.
The moral of the story is Constantly work on how much you respect others and recognize when people are disrespecting you. Bring it up, talk about it, but if they continue to disrespect you, then get them out of your life. If it's an employee, get them out of your business. If that's a spouse, address it, but it may be the end of a relationship. Like, I couldn't ever have a relationship where my spouse didn't respect me, right?
Oh, fuck no.
Outside of being demasculating, that's just demoralizing, right? And so, you know, I command respect from my spouse, but I also give my spouse all the respect she deserves as well. And so, you know, respect is the foundation for anything great. And so make sure that you are focusing on respect at all times, especially when it's inconvenient, because that's where it matters the most.
Agreed, so, buddy.
Until next week, guys, we will see you later.
See you.